Turn your Bibles with me this morning to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 25. If you don't have your Bible with you this morning, you can look in the middle of our bulletin and you will see the passage that we'll be discussing. Just one quick note to those who are new to our congregation, we have a wonderful breakfast that our ladies cook and Bruce cook on Sunday mornings before our Sunday school time. It starts at 8:30, it goes to 9:15, and it is delicious. Cheryl, that French toast this morning was the best French toast I've ever had in my life. It was fabulous, and thank you so much. And also, if you are visiting this morning, we want you to know that we're delighted that you're with us. We gave you a card and a pen and a cup. If you could fill out that card with that pen and give it to one of our ushers or me after the service, we'll put that information on our mailing list. And about twice a year, we pass out a mailing, and that's all we'll send you. We won't send you a lot of junk mail, but we want to let you know that we are grateful for you visiting, and we are thankful that you are here with us this morning. All right, Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 25. It says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Being a dad and being a father is not easy sometimes. It's difficult. And we see that this passage has given us a prescription for how a family should operate. But it's not easy because sometimes dads have to deal with a lot of things. Mark Twain said, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have him around me. But when I got 21, I was astonished at how much he had learned in just 7 years." Funny how that works, huh? Someone wrote these humorous words entitled, "The World According to Dad." These are words that most dads have said at some time or another to their children. "This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you." "Quiet, I'm watching the ball game." "Don't forget to check the oil." "Bring back all the change." I know I say that one. "How should I know? Ask your mother." "I'm not made out of money." "When I was your age, I walked 5 miles to and from school each day, uphill both ways." "You are going and you are going to have fun." Who's paying the bills around here anyway? If you break your leg, don't come running to me. Don't put your feet on the furniture. Your mother will kill you. Get down before you kill yourself. On second thought, go ahead. I like that one. Quit playing with your food. Be quiet. Can't you see I'm trying to think? Why? Because I said so. If you don't quit that, I'm going to call your mother. You better get that junk picked up before your mother comes in here. Just wait till you have kids of your own. I was not asleep. I was just resting my eyes. Someone said, parents spend the first part of their child's life urging him to talk and walk, and the rest of his childhood telling him to sit down and be quiet. One father said to his teenage son, do you mind if I use the car tonight? I'm taking your mother out to eat, and I'd like to impress her. Poor guy. Father said to his daughter, what's wrong, Judy? You usually talk on the phone for hours. This time you only talk for 30 minutes. How come? Judy replied, it was the wrong number. Just talk to him for 30 minutes and it was the wrong number. A letter from a college student to his dad said, please send food packages. All they serve here is breakfast, lunch, and dinner. This one's my favorite. Another son wrote home to his dad and said, dear dad, please let me hear from you more often, even if it's with just fives and tens. Oh, boy, it's not easy being a dad. But you know what? This passage gives us some wonderful wisdom about being a dad. This passage deals with the way a Christian family should operate as a whole. But today I would like us to look at it from the perspective of the father's role. Now, the last verse we read in this section says, not to provoke your children to wrath. Dads, we're not to provoke our children to wrath. Now, I believe there are many ways that fathers provoke their children to wrath. But I want to focus on the ones I see in this passage this morning. So let's take a look at this passage and see how fathers can avoid provoking their children to wrath. First of all, a father can avoid provoking his children to wrath by taking care of his wife. A father can avoid provoking his children to wrath by taking care of his wife. Now, one of the guaranteed ways to provoke your children to wrath is by neglecting their mother. By neglecting their mother. If you want to show your children that you love them, you need to love their mom. One of the best ways you can show your children that you love them is to love their mom, your wife. Now, how do we show our love to our wives? How do we show our love? Yeah, we give them hugs and kisses and things like that, but there's deeper ways to show your love to your wife. Some of those ways are described to us in this passage of Scripture. Notice verse 29 of chapter 5. It says, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Now, God wants us to nourish and cherish our wives. One of the best ways we can show our love to our wives is by nourishing them and cherishing them. Now, what does it mean to nourish? Well, the word here means to feed, but I think that the larger meaning is he provides. He provides for his wife. He provides for her needs. Now, this is very important that we see this, dads. He bears the responsibility of making sure his wife's needs are met. He bears that responsibility. Your wife shouldn't be the one that has to worry about the bills getting paid. Understand that. Dad, you need to love your wife enough to make sure that she's not the one that has to worry about the bills getting paid. Last week, I got to fill in for Dave and Lisa in the married couples class. And one of the things I did was I asked them, what attracted you to your spouse? What attracted you? And one of the ladies said, I felt secure with him. I felt secure with him. You know what I found? One of the things that wives need more than anything is a sense of security. A sense of security that their man is going to provide for them. Their man is going to look out for them. Their man is going to take over the concerns about providing for her and her family. And I think that's important. Now, understand, I know that it's a difficult world that we live in, and it's hard to provide. I'm not talking about providing a $40,000 SUV and you know, a mansion and all this other stuff and every trinket on QVC. No. That's not what I'm talking about. You know, a pastor in Missouri was talking about his dad and how his dad provided for him. They were very poor. They had 16 kids in the family. 16. But they had food and clothes. They didn't have anything immaculate. They had an old house, but they had what they needed. And his dad worked very hard to make sure they had the simple things, but they had what they needed in life. That preacher said, I feel like my dad provided for us. And he did. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about giving the kid a Ferrari for his 16th birthday. We're talking about just simply making sure that your kids are provided for and making sure you don't put that burden on your wife. Now, she may help out in that area, but the burden of it should not be on her head, okay? She may even be the one that writes the checks out, but you make sure that she can write the checks out, right? That she can pay the bill, all right? That's what we're talking about here. He nourishes her. He provides for her. But there's another word described here. It's cherishes. Cherishes. This word means protect. To protect. Now, a man who cherishes his wife will take care of all kind. It will take all kinds of steps to make sure that she is protected. Now, when a guy has a car that he really cherishes, oh boy, he takes all kinds of steps to protect that car. He waxes it, right? He puts a nice wax on it so he can avoid, it can be protected from scratches and dings like that. So he puts a nice wax coating on it. He'll do the maintenance on it. He'll make sure that it's running great, that it has oil and filter change every 3,000 miles so the engine is protected against wear and tear and all that. And he'll park it where it won't get damaged. A guy that cherishes his vehicle, he's got a nice maybe Mustang or something like that, and he pulls into Walmart, he's not going to pull right in between two cars. He parks way out where no one else is parked, so it's protected from people banging their door into it or slamming a cart into it. You know, he protects it because he cherishes that car. Hey, guess what? We need to show our wives that we cherish them by protecting them, by helping them. in protecting them, showing them that we want to give them the security that they are protected. You know, if you know that Christy, she had a serious health issue in January. She had those arteries in her neck, those carotid arteries, dissected. Well, during that time, I tried my very best to make sure that she was protected, so that she wasn't harmed any more than she was already harmed. We made sure that we were quiet and that she got lots of sleep. We made sure that we tried not to bother her with the stuff that we could handle on our own, or things like that. I bought a air filter for the house so that she wouldn't cough as much. I bought her a juicer and a juice press so that she had juices that would help her heal faster. We did all that to make sure that she was protected. Hey, we need to do that for our wives. They are the weaker vessel. That's what the Bible tells us. They need our protection. They need our protection. Show your wife you really care and be there for her. Help her. You know, don't just use her like an old car that you could care less about, and you're just going to slam it into gear and just run it till the wheels fall off. You know, that's not a car you care about, right? You're just running it till the wheels fall off. Sometimes we look at our wives like that. We just put more on them, don't care about, you know, how it's running them down, and pretty soon the wheels may fall off. We don't want that, do we? Okay? So, fathers, avoid provoking your children to wrath by loving your wives in a nourishing and cherishing way. By loving your wives in a nourishing and cherishing way. Now, secondly, a father can avoid provoking his children to wrath by providing consistent biblical discipline. By providing consistent biblical discipline. Notice verse 1 of chapter 6. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." Now, a father shows his love to his children by chastening them. He shows his lack of love for them by not disciplining them. Now, how in the world do children learn to obey their parents? How does that happen? Anyone here have a child that just naturally obeyed their parents all the time? I didn't think so. I've never had one. I might have heard of one before, but I doubt it. They have to be trained to do that, right? They have to be trained. I filled in for Sue this morning in her Sunday school class. And I was going to read this verse to the kids because I wanted them to know how they could make their dads happy. And one of the ways that we can make our dads happy is by obeying them, right? Well, I turned to the passage, and all the kids in the class, all the kids had it memorized and recited it to me. They all said, "Oh yeah, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And they just started rattling it off. So I know you guys are doing a good job with those kids, because here's what you did. You're trying to train your kid to obey, right? So what did you do? You went right to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, and you said, "This is why you need to obey me, because God said that's what you need to do." That's wonderful. But see, if you don't do that on a regular basis, why did they have it memorized? Because they had heard it over and over and over again. Amen. God bless you, and guess what? God's going to bless your kids for that, because that's ingrained in their heart and in their mind now, and that's something that God will use to bless them with long life, right? So, hey, that's what we need to do. If we don't consistently train them, though, they don't learn that. So, dads, what do you need to do? You need to show your kids that you love them by consistently training them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This is what God does for us, right? Our Heavenly Father shows His love to us by disciplining us. Now, look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5. It says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and scourges every son whom He receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have human fathers who correct us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live?" Now, let me help you understand what I'm trying to say here with this passage. Notice verse 9 says that when our earthly father disciplines us, we respect him. Now, the opposite can be said as well. When fathers fail to discipline their children lose respect for them. You might think that you're making your kid happy and love you more by letting them do whatever they want. Well, guess what? That's exactly the opposite of how God designed them, and that is not going to be the case. If you fail to give your kid consistent biblical discipline, then you're going to show him the opposite of what you think you're showing him. You're going to show him your lack of love and your lack of concern for him by not disciplining your child. Let me give you an illustration. I was at the ball field last night, and Billy was playing baseball, and the game on the other field had gotten done early, so some of the other ball players came over to watch the game. Well, one of the dads came over, of one of the boys watching the game, and the dad said, "Hey, let's go." And the child turned to his dad and stared him in the eye with defiance and said, "No," and just turned around and started watching the game again. Now, I'm standing there and I'm like, "Ooh." I'm like, "Oh, boy, I'd love to help this dad out. I would really love to help him out." But then, a little bit later, the dad says, "Well, hey, tomorrow's Father's Day, and I'd like the lawn to get mowed." The kid turned to him again, looked him right in the eyes with everybody standing there, and said, "You can't make me." Just like that. And I thought, "Hey, pal, Let me show you something." let me show you something. And I thought to myself, you know what? I can't make my child do anything. I can't. I don't want to have to. At that age, a child should be to the point where you don't have to make them do it. Well, how do you get to that point? How do you get to the point where you say, "Hey, Billy, can you mow the lawn today?" And he doesn't give you any lip about it. He just does it. Through consistent biblical discipline. That's how it's done. Really, I felt bad for the dad. I really did. I felt bad for him because he may have never learned what I'm about to teach you, what I've taught you here this morning. That through consistent biblical discipline, you can raise children that will respect you. Through consistent biblical discipline, you can raise children that respect you. Proverbs chapter, let me find my place here. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs 13, 24 says this. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Now, that little verse says a whole lot, doesn't it? How do we show our children that we really love them? Through discipline, spankings. When your child is a little child, and that child says no to you that first time. When that child says no to you that first time, you know, the terrible twos, you remember that? Well, that started about at 10 months with my kids. So anyways, Billy, don't touch.
No.
Oh, okay. Pow, 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 right on the backside, right? Guess what? Billy don't say no more. So when Billy's 12 years old, like this, I don't have to worry about it. Billy, don't touch. Okay. No problem. That's how it goes. But you got to be consistent with it. Does it take a long time? Yes. I remember Christy coming to me in tears saying, because Michaela, she was hard-headed, okay? She came to me, she said, it's not working! It's not working! I don't know what's going on, but I spank her and she still does it, and then I spank her again and she still does it. And I said, hey, babe, she's just thick. That's all. I mean, that's just the way it is. But this is the only way I know that God told us to do it. So we're going to stick with what God said because we know when God says it, it works. And there she is over there sitting nicely in church. Amen? So, hey, it works. It works. Okay? God's way always works. Now, it's not a secret formula that guarantees that your child is going to be perfect. No, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about your child not developing a wrath towards you, right? How many people I've spoken to who their lives are in shambles, and I've heard this over and over again, if only my parents cared about what I was doing. If only my parents cared about what I was doing. Think about that for a minute. How do we show our kids that we love them? Through biblical, consistent discipline. Let's remember it, dads. Let's remember not to provoke our children by just letting them do whatever they want. Show your children you love them by exercising biblical discipline consistently. And finally, back in Ephesians, a father can avoid provoking his children to wrath by focusing on Christ and the church. A father can avoid provoking his children to wrath by focusing on Christ and the church. Now, let me read verses 25 and 32 to you here. Verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. And then in verse 32 it says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now, I want you to notice how God, when he spoke about the family, put emphasis on Jesus and his church as he talked about the family. There was this special emphasis on Jesus and the church as he spoke about the family. Now, I believe that dads need to understand that one of the ways you can avoid provoking your children to wrath is focusing them and you focusing on Christ and his church. Dads, our children are being attacked by the enemies of God in our world, and we need to help them focus on Jesus and his church. We need that. The enemies of God are marching around our children. They're marching and looking at our children, and the flames of hell are going to burn them if we don't protect them. How do we do that? We focus on Jesus and his church, and we make sure they're in church where they can be focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we need to do. We need to make sure that we protect our children and make sure that they know we love them by focusing on Jesus and the church. You know, Christy's parents gave us a car and was so grateful for it because Michaela's driving now. And that car, we had to pick it up at Virginia. I went down and picked it up. And I was driving back from Virginia yesterday, and I was flipping channels through the radio, as many of us do. And as I drove and flipped the channels, I want you to know what I experienced. I flipped to one channel, and the radio announcer came on, and he said, Ozzy Osbourne and Black Sabbath have gotten together again, and they got a new album out, the first one in 35 years, and their hit song is God is Dead. Their hit song is God is Dead. Click. I turn the channel. I don't want to hear about that, right? So I turn the channel, go to the next thing. What do they got on there? Well, here's what they had. Oh, boy. I know, I've lost my place in my nut. Here it is. So, I click the channel, and here's the next thing that comes on. The radio announcers are having people call in, dads call in, and say why they're not going to get Father of the Year Award. Why they're not going to get Father of the Year Award. I could not believe my ears as a father called in and said, well, I'm not going to because I got drunk with my daughter and her friends the other night and ended up, he committed immorality with one of the friends. This is the culture, and they're all laughing about it and saying, oh, well, you're not going to be a good dad. You're not going to get Father of the Year Award, are you? They were making light of this. This is the culture that is infiltrating our families today. It gets worse. I clicked it again, and NPR had a documentary on a man who was struggling with his identity, so he decided to change into a woman. This is the kind of stuff that our culture is spewing out on our children, and we need to make sure they are protected from it. How do we do that? We focus on Jesus and his church. Now understand something. Because our culture is so wicked, it's even more important that we make sure our kids are in church all the time. Faithfully, consistently, in church, in Sunday school, because of this stuff. Now, why do I say that? Why can I say that with such confidence? I'll tell you why. Because his church is connected with him, who he is, the person of Jesus Christ. They're connected. You can't separate them. It's amazing how we connect personalities or people to places we go, and we'll actually go to places because of the people there, right? Or the person that we will meet there. One of our family's favorite restaurants, it's in New Jersey. It's called Tony Brothers. And every time we travel down south, we make sure that we go to Tony Brothers because we love the food there. But even more than that, we love the waitress there. Her name is Fran. Fran's a wonderful Italian lady, and she's always friendly to us. We send her a Christmas card. We love her so much. We've just really bonded with Fran. I walked in after not being there for a year. I walked in there yesterday, and she said, "Hey, how you doing? You want your regular? You want the calamari and the veal palm?" And I said, "Yeah, that's exactly what I want." Amen? Well, before I saw her and I walked in, I walked into the bathroom, and I didn't see Fran. And as I'm going to the bathroom, I said to myself, if there's no Fran, I'm not coming here no more. That's what I said to myself. Even though the food may have not changed, I have a connection with the person there. Fran, that's why I'm going there. It's not just the food. I want to see Fran. I want her to serve me. Do you have a favorite waitress at your restaurant that you like? And you make sure you say, hey, I want so-and-so's table. Right? Why? Because you're not there just for the food. You're there to be with her. That's what I'm talking about here. Why are we coming to church? Just for the food, although the food's fabulous, right? The food's fabulous. Beacon Church has fabulous food. But it's not for that. It's for the person we meet when we get here. His name is Jesus. That's why we should be here. And it's when we focus on Jesus that we're protected from the world. This is a scary world. It's scary to think that my children have to grow up in a culture like we are seeing today, and to know that it's going to get worse. Dads, best thing you can do to protect your children spiritually is make sure they're focused on Jesus and His church. And you can't separate the two. You can't separate them. So let's make sure we keep them in church, okay? So this is very important that we do this. Dads, we need to realize this. This is why we need to make sure we are faithful to bringing our family to church. And I hope we will all do this. So there's three things, guys, that we need to remember. Love your wives, nourish and cherish them. Exercise biblical, consistent discipline on your children, and make sure that you have them focused on Jesus and His church. There's not many ways we can help our kids focus on the Lord Jesus. We need to have personal devotions. We need to encourage them. But one of the ways that we can do it consistently and tell them that we love Jesus and we want them to love Jesus every week is to make sure that they are in His church. Okay? So, let's go to the Lord in prayer.